The word of the Lord says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. Then we're going to go to Colossians 3, 23, 24. This is a word church, so we believe in the word. And it says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ that you are serving, not man. You may have your seats, but on the way down to your seats, look at your neighbor and say, we got work to do. We're going to get it done. Just do it. Hallelujah. So there are three types of work that impact the body of Christ and the work that we do in the kingdom. There's positive work, negative work, and zero work. All three of these types of works can build the kingdom or tear it down. First, we're going to talk about zero work. Zero work is exactly that, zero work. It's work that doesn't get done. It's the work that gets overlooked, the work that nobody feels is their assignment. Its effect or outcome is zero. It's work where no lives are transformed or changed. The work that nobody is hearing about Jesus and how good he is. The work that doesn't fit into your schedule. The work that we think is insignificant. Zero work produces nothing. That's zero work. Then you got negative work. This work is ineffective. It's the work that is not desirable or optimistic. It hinders the plan of God. It's meaningless, heartless, dishonest, lacks compassion. It's work that just gets done because you don't want to hear somebody's mouth. Negative work can even be contrary to the word of God. Kiana, what do you mean by that? The Bible says in Exodus that thou shalt not have no other gods before me. And of course, it's the little g. But folks are out here worshiping crystals, worshiping idols, worshiping statues, worshiping graves that still have human remains, worshiping energies, and worshiping the universe. Where they do that at? Because we don't do that over here in holiness. Because who do they think created that universe that they want to worship? And let's not forget the horoscope readers, right? Now, if my mind serves me correctly, horror is meant to bring fear or fright, right? And I've been known to watch horror movies from time to time, and nothing good ever came out of those movies. But we want to read horoscopes to get what our life is going to be like for the day. We don't want to trust the Bible where it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding. But we want to read a horoscope and trust that that horoscope is going to be correct for that day, not even realizing that that horoscope is written by somebody who got some mess going on in their own life. We got work to do, y'all. Hallelujah. Finally, you have positive work. This is the work I like. This is an active work, an effective work, a work that gets done whether you have a team of two or 200. It's the work that's satisfying, a work that gives hope, confidence, love, encouragement, and support. It's the work that changes and transforms lives. This work has enthusiasm. It has perseverance. It has passion. It's telling people that Jesus is Lord. It's telling people that Jesus can heal. It's telling people that Jesus can save them and that Jesus can love them. Positive work is serving. I say that again. Positive work is serving, and it brings glory to God. Positive work is kingdom work, and we're here for kingdom building, right? So we got to be about positive work. The ultimate example of working in the kingdom is to be a servant. One definition of serve is to perform duties or services for others, to present someone to be of use. In other words, we must present our bodies or present ourselves to be of use to perform duties to serve others. Positive work, kingdom work, serving. It all goes together. Look at your neighbor and say, we got work to do. One of the greatest works in the Bible was the creation of earth and mankind. Work was an essential element of God's intent for the world. God himself worked. Do y'all believe that? God worked? I'm glad you do. Because Genesis 1 and 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then down in verse 26, 27, he created Adam in those verses. So right there in the Bible, we can read that God worked, right? Kingdom work started long ago with Adam, though. When God created him, he immediately told him to go to work. He told him, name those animals. And y'all know it was a lot of animals, right? So it wasn't just a one day, I'm going to clock in for an hour, and then I'm going to leave. No, it's a lot of animals. I mean, it's animals that we didn't even know was existing. So he had to name all of those. And he told him to tend to the garden. If you ever did any type of gardening work, you know gardening takes time. So that means him working in the garden, him naming the animals, that was work. But it didn't stop there. Did not stop there. When God decided that he was going to create a helper for Adam, right? So we all know Eve was created out of Adam. Adam fell asleep on the job, y'all. And sometimes in this kingdom, we will try to fall asleep on a job, but we got to stay alert. The Bible talks about that, staying aware of the enemy. So we can't fall asleep on our job. But of course, Adam get a pass for this, right? Because what was created out of Adam was something good. God created a masterpiece. He created Eve. So although Adam fell asleep on the job, and it was for good reasons, and if you know anything about us women, we take time, right? But I need all my ladies in this building to look at each other and say, God was doing his good work when he created me. Amen. Happy Women's Day. But that just proves that God was working. Not only was Adam working, but God was working. God was creating the universe. He was a surgeon and he was a sculptor. Throughout the Bible, there are examples of people doing positive work. Just to name a few, you have Apostle Paul, you have Ruth and David, and we can never forget about Jesus. Apostle Paul is one of the most tireless workers in the Bible. He dedicated his life to spreading the message of the gospel. Paul traveled preaching, teaching, and establishing churches. And of course, his work was not without hardship. He faced jail, persecutions, and physical suffering. Sometimes in this walk, you're going to face persecutions coming from all walks of the area. It doesn't even matter. You can look at somebody and want to say God bless, and now they biting your head off. That's just the world that we live in. But Paul never wavered from his commitment. Paul encourages us in Colossians 3 to do everything unto the Lord and not men. If you can fact check that. That's Colossians 3. Thank you, Marche. We a fact checking church, ain't we? Amen. Amen. He tells us that God will reward us for the measures that we do. You cannot worry about what Sister Susie is doing, what Brother Bobo is doing, what Sister Sally Mae is doing, especially when you ain't doing what you're supposed to be doing. If you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're going to be so occupied, you ain't going to worry about what they're doing over here. You ain't going to worry about what they're doing over there because you're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing here. We got work to do. Ruth was an example of humility and hard work. After the death of her husband, Ruth chose to stay with her mother-in-law. Ruth worked tirelessly in the field for them, to support them. Despite the hardships of manual labor, Ruth's diligence and work ethic did not go unnoticed. She caught the attention of Boaz, a wealthy landowner. Now, we don't know what type of field Ruth was working in, but I can imagine, because I see fields as we travel. It was probably hot. It was probably overwhelming at times. She probably wanted to throw in the towel and give up. And then, not only that, she stayed with her husband's mother. How many people is going to stay around and take care of somebody who done died? Amen. But she stayed to take care of them. She was committed to Naomi. Sometimes the work that we must do is in our own family. Sometimes that work requires you getting your hands dirty. We might get tired at times. It might look like it's not making a difference. It might look like it's not changing, but we still got to continue to do the work. We have work to do even in our own homes. Look at your neighbor and say, we got work to do. Hallelujah. The ultimate example of hard work, of course, is the sacrifice of Jesus. Throughout his ministry, Jesus tirelessly traveled from town to town, teaching, healing, and serving people. He was a people person. He dedicated his life to fulfilling God's mission. His work left him exhausted and required immense spiritual and emotional strength. Ultimately, his work ended in his death when he sacrificed for people like us. This work that we do is going to get exhausting. You're going to want to throw in the towel. People ain't going to like you. You're going to be like, all right, I ain't doing this. You're going to have to pray. This is a work where you got to pray, because you're going to come up against spirits that are even unfamiliar to what you're even used to. Jesus came up against so much, but he still did the work. He still did the work. Ultimately, his work ended in his death. These are all examples of people doing good works in the Bible that impact the kingdom. What kind of work are you doing that impacts the kingdom? Because my mom always used to say, idle hands make idle minds, right? We've all heard that, right? So we got to be busy with our hands. We got to be busy. We got to keep our mind stayed on Jesus, because this can't be an effective work if you're not having your mind on Jesus. We already talked about negative work and zero work. We don't want that in the kingdom. We want the positive work. So we have to keep our mind stayed on Jesus. Everybody is familiar with the Nike slogan, just do it, right? These three little words, they have been meaningful, encouraging, and powerful and impactful around the world. The company defined the meaning of just do it as being both universal and personal. It was Nike's attempt to use motivational messaging aimed to inspire people to take action, to change lives, to become more active and engaged. And according to Nike, the slogan was a call to action. When I went to their website to do some fact checking, thank you, Marchette, I saw they had these flashing words, right? And in the flashing words, it was types of people that they serve. So they serve boys. It said boys, girls, men, women. It said pros and even beginners, right? And then after all of those flashing, it says, we're here to serve. I said, ooh, Nike out here serving. If Nike is out here serving those people, who are we serving? And what are we serving them? We can't just be serving them anything. First of all, we got to serve them truth. We already read the Bible. People nowadays, people are making the Bible contrary. They are doing things that are contrary to God's word. If you don't know that Bible for yourself, you can be fooled. There's so many different versions of the Bible, and they taking out what they want to take out, putting in what they want to put in, and sometimes the stuff that they putting in is not even nowhere in any version of the Bible, but it's stuff that they putting in to fit their mess or to fill what they're doing. That's not what we're doing over here. We got to feed the people truth. We got to feed the people love. We got to feed the people kindness. The Bible in Galatians talks about the fruits of the Spirit. That's what we feed the people. Hallelujah. Nike serving everybody. Tell your neighbor, we here to serve. Yes. We live in this world where it's a bunch of shortcuts. Everybody want to get stuff done faster. They say work hard, work smarter, not harder. That's my husband's favorite thing. Work smarter, not harder. But in the kingdom, we got to work smarter and harder. Sometimes we got to use unconventional methods and untraditionalized methods to go to the hedges and the highways, as God said, and compel the people to come. Everybody's not walking through the doors of the church. Are they seeing Jesus when we're on our jobs? Are they seeing Jesus when we are in family functions? Are they seeing your life and your walk when you're hanging out? Jesus, yes, he hung out with sinners. He loved it. That was work. But he did not let the sinners conform to what his mission was. He didn't let it change. He didn't let his friends or his pals be like, all right, we're going to go check out this person right here. But, you know, they drinking and they smoking, whatever they was doing back in that day, I don't really know. But he didn't allow that to get away from the mission of telling them, I am here to love you. I am here to save you. And eventually, I'm going to be here dying for you. He still did the work no matter what. And one thing that I find is, when you're telling somebody about Jesus, yeah, you're going to come up against those ones that are negative and all of that stuff. But people are real honest, and they appreciate it. Sometimes you're going to get people that just start crying because it's something that they need. So we can never be afraid to tell somebody about God. How many times are on our job or just walking in the stores, whatever, and the Lord tells you to tell somebody something? The Lord says you to say something to somebody, and you just, oh, I don't know them. They don't even look right. They don't look. How many times somebody told you about Jesus, right? Somebody told you that he loved you, right? That he delivers, right? You got to tell somebody else. That's your job. Hallelujah. This work has to be focused around God and serving others. He called all of us into ministry for a particular reason. All of us in this room have callings on our life. All of us have ministry work to do. All of us have a work to do. Is mine the same as yours? Absolutely not. It could be, but it's not. But all of our works are important in the ministry. It's needed. And when we work at it, God is pleased and our leader is less stressed. Our works help lessen the stress off of our leaders. Do y'all believe that? Yes, because we want our leader around a long time, right? Do y'all believe? Clap it up. We want our leaders around for a long time, right? Absolutely. 1 Corinthians 58 says to be steadfast. That means committed to the work no matter what the work is. Being committed no matter what the work is. Our work is not in vain. If we're doing it unto the Lord, it is not in vain. We can't do the work because we think it's going to get us brownie points with somebody. We can't do the work because we just don't want that over there, so we just gonna do it. No, it's not in vain. When we do it unto the Lord, God takes honor in that. If you sweeping the floors and you doing it unto the Lord, God is pleased. If you washing the toilet and you doing it unto the Lord, God is pleased. If you back there greeting the people at the door, God is pleased. Whatever you do, it has to be done unto the glory and honor of God. He gets the glory, not man. Nothing that we do is for the benefit of our pastor. Yes, it lessens his strength, but I know this man. He wants you to do it unto the glory and honor of God. Ain't that right, Pastor? Amen. So anything you do, don't ever just think, oh, I'm just doing it for my first lady. I'm just doing it for my pastor. If you're not doing it unto the Lord, then you are not doing it right. Just do it. Hallelujah. We can't be walking around acting like we don't want to do the work, like we don't want to tell somebody about Christ, like we're not happy about serving. Serving is happiness. When you go to McDonald's, right? I know everybody in here that ate McDonald's, and they had that little sign, like the little Happy Meals, and we're here to serve, and then they're, welcome to McDonald's, how can I help you? right? They're happy about it, right? You ain't, have you? I mean, you do walk up to some fast food place and they like, welcome, and you know. But if you get somebody on a good day, that, welcome to McDonald's, welcome to Wendy's, how I, can I take your order? They're there to serve. So we gotta be there to serve. The Bible says the harvest is plenteous. That means there are so many people out there that we need to be trying to reach. It's not about these four walls all the time. Sometimes we gotta get out into the community like they got out there yesterday and did the prayer walk. That's community work, that's work, because everybody's not coming through that door. Hallelujah. And we gotta do it without murmuring and complaining. We live in a day and time where everything is a complaint. Everybody's complaining about something. It's too cold, it's too hot, it's too light outside, it's too dark outside, it's too this, it's too that, it's too many people. Do the work. Do the work. Stop murmuring, stop complaining. Do the work. Everything that we do, there's no little work in the kingdom. There's no little work. There's no big, huge work. You're not getting brownie points from God or your leaders when you're not doing it. If you see something that needs to be done, do it. How many times our own pastor is walking around here and he's picking up papers and things like that? We see the paper on the seat. Pick it up on your way out. We see the garbage downstairs. Take it out. We see the bathrooms got, clean them. It's work unto the Lord. He gets the glory, not pastor. He, God, gets the glory from our service, our work. I'm sorry, I'm just, whew. We're one body, like it says in Ephesians 4. It says that there is one body, one spirit, even as ye are called into the hope of your calling. We're one body with different calls. The head doesn't work without the neck, right? Or else you just be like, y'all seen them little bobbleheads, right? Yeah. It don't work without the neck. So we got to work together to get this work done. This is a whatever kind of work. Sometimes that work is unpopular work. It's the work that nobody wants to do, the work that gets your name. The work that doesn't get your name in lights or your face on a flyer kind of work. It's the work that means whatever your hands find to do, do it. Whatever the Lord tells you to do, do it. Whatever the Lord tells you to say, you say it. Just do it. Whatever work needs to be done, just do it. We're here building the kingdom, not tearing it down. So that might mean that you have to work with the children. That might mean you got to clean the church. That might mean you got to get out and feed the people. That might mean that you got to come out of your comfort zones. This work that we do will bring you out of your comfort zone like you would not believe. But the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear. So everything that we do, we should do it wholeheartedly unto the Lord without fear. Because sometimes some of us are going to have to go into the hospital. Sometimes some of us are going to have to go on the streets where it's laid with crack pipes and things like that just to minister the gospel. Sometimes some of us is going to have to come up against some things that we don't think that we would ever come up against just in the name of the Lord, but we just got to do the work. This work requires a life of prayer and obedience, a life of sacrifice. Sometimes it gets tedious along this work. You get discouraged, you get lonely, you feel like you want to throw in the towel. But you got to look at your feet, and if you got a good pair of Nikes on, you got to say, just do it. Just do it. Just do it. Do the work. Hallelujah. And you got to have a life of prayer in this work. Because if you don't got a life of prayer, what you really doing? How you really working effectively? You got to be able to hear from God for him to tell you where you need to go. Who you need to talk to, who you need to minister to, what needs to be done in the ministry. You got to have a life of prayer. And of course, listen, we all in here serving the Lord, but and you know this work requires obedience. Obedience. And another word for obedience is submission. We got to be submitted to Christ. We got to be submitted to the word. to the work, to God, to the ministries that God put us in. God did not anoint us and bless us with all of these gifts and talents for us to sit and do what? Who's hearing about Jesus when you sitting? Who's being saved when you sitting on what the Lord has given you? Nobody. We can preach to the same people in here, but what about the people outside the door? What are we telling them? Everybody, we all jumping and shouting and believing God and woo, praise break after praise break. What about the people that's dying? What about the single moms who have no hope? What about the fathers who are single fathers raising children and don't have brotherhood? What about the schools, the children in the schools where they're teaching, where there's witches and warlocks teaching in our schools? We got work to do as a body. We got work to do. Hallelujah. In this work, there is no PTO. I know if you like me, you like to use your PTO because they give you so much. So you like to use it. But in this work, there ain't no personal time off. All right? In this work, there ain't no, I'm calling in. Pastor, I can't come in today because I just don't feel like it. No, if you calling in, let it be for a real reason that you can't call in. Not just because you don't want to serve. Let it be for a real reason. Ain't no time off in the kingdom and kingdom work. Where they do that at? Somebody is depending on you to report to work. Just like we report and we clock in at our regular job and we be on time, Pastor. We be on time. We do overtime. We do all the jobs that the other people don't want to do. Like we talking to Sally and we know Sally don't like us, but we talking to her. Why we can't do that in the kingdom? Why we can't do that in the kingdom? The same stuff that we do outside, God is requiring that for his house. Because one, that stuff don't last. The Bible says heaven and earth will pass away, right? So our goal is to make it to heaven. I hope, I pray, to make it to heaven. But we clocking in our jobs on time. We telling our coworkers about the barbecue, but we ain't telling our coworkers about Jesus. We inviting them out to after hour. What's it called? After hour? That's the happy hour, right? They inviting you out and you going and you inviting, but you ain't inviting them to a Women's Day service. You ain't inviting them to church. You ain't inviting them to a street ministry or anything like that. We got work to do, y'all. So in a world where there is crime being committed in broad daylight, no respect for authority, no reverence for the things of God, we got work to do. The drug epidemic going crazy, school shootings, fightings left and right, violence all over, we got work to do. Mothers and fathers against children, children against parents, we got work to do. I literally just read the other day, I was talking to my kids about it. There was a kid in the state of Washington, 15 years old, killed five of his family members. And then blamed it. There was one 13-year-old that survived. He called the police and said that the 13-year-old did it. Of course, they realized, like, okay, she shot, you not shot. It just don't add up. But we got work to do, y'all. When 15-year-olds are going and buying pistols and things like that to shoot up family members, y'all don't think we got our work cut out for us? We got to get from these four walls. We got to get, yes, we love the edifice. It's beautiful. But God said, go into the hedges and compel them. The way you compel them is the way you live. If you ain't talking about Jesus, they'll never know about Jesus. If your lifestyle doesn't mimic change, not even mimic, if your lifestyle from what they knew you to be is not changed and they don't see it, they don't want what you got. They don't want nothing that you ain't excited for. You walking around not excited about the things that you're doing of God, and you think that you can go and minister to somebody, and they're going to be receptive, and you walk around, yeah, we saying, oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength, but when you go to present Jesus, I want to give you this track. I want to just tell you about you. Who is receiving you like that? I know if it was me, I'd be like, keep that, because that's not the God that I know about. That's not the God that, you know, in church they be saying heals. That's not the God that performs miracles like this mother sitting right here. We got work to do, y'all. So, Drew, come on, because I'm ready to get up out of here. So in a world where there are when a child can take out a book of spells from a school library and ain't no Bible or Christian books nowhere on site, we got work to do. In a world where certain rights are more protected than other human rights, we got work to do. In a world where the witches and the warlocks are teaching our kids and they're instructing our kids how to make Ouija boards and all these seances and stuff, we got work to do. In a country where there is a great divide already, social unrest, and people using God's name for their glory or as a joke or personal game, we got our work cut out for us. In a world where freedom of speech only applies to certain people, but when you freely talk about God or how good God is, they want to get offended. We got work to do. They want to say you're judging. We got work to do. In a world where the youth are walking into the schools and college campuses with an intent to kill, we got work to do. In a world where a mental health crisis is rising on a daily basis, and you can drive down a road and see prostitutes and homelessness and drug addicts, we, the church, got work to do. In a world where churches are coming against churches, leaders against leaders, but ain't we all supposed to be on the same page? Ain't we all supposed to be working in the kingdom together? Ain't we all supposed to be building the kingdom together? We got work to do. Hallelujah. In a world where folks are taking recorded sacred moments and moves of God and using it to go viral, to mock the church, to ridicule the church for likes and posts, we got work to do. In a world where people got they're taking out the Bible and adding to the Bible, we got work to do. In a world where folks are feeling comfortable enough to use profanity in the church of the Lord, we got work to do. How dare you? How dare you feel so comfortable enough to use profanity in the sacred house of God? The devil is a liar. We got work to do. Hallelujah. And the folks, my God. In a world where praying in front of a clinic gets you in trouble with the Lord, gets you 3 years of prison time, we got work to do. In a world where folks are coming to the house of the Lord for the hookup rather than a deliverance, we got work to do. Hallelujah. In a world where folks are feeling like they on the same level as the pastor, so they gonna do whatever they want to do, say whatever they want to do, all sides of the pastor, come against the man of God, come against the woman of God, we got work to do. Hallelujah. And I'm here to tell you, hallelujah, I serve notice. Don't try that up in here. Hallelujah. It ain't going down up in here. We honor this man of God. We honor that woman of God. Don't try it up in here. Hallelujah. Because we do the work here. Hallelujah. 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 My God. Hallelujah. In the world where people can't tell the difference between the world and the church, because we acting like the world, we looking like the world, we talking like the world, we dressing like the world, we going to the places where the world is. Yeah, we supposed to go to the hedges and the highways, but are we supposed to be smoking? Are we supposed to be drinking? We doing what the world does. They don't want to come to church if we doing that. How can we minister effectively to them if we doing the same things they do? They're going to take us as a joke. We got work to do, y'all. Hallelujah. In a world where they saying wrong is right and right is wrong, we got work to do. My mama always used to say, you keep doing what you doing, you're going to bust hell wide open. Hallelujah. This world is going to bust hell wide open. The church, we got work to do. Individually, collectively, we got work to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. In a world where you can turn on the TV at any given time, you flick on the TV to watch just something wholesome, and all you see is the things that they want to promote in this world that we live in. The same-sex relationships, the drinking and the smoking, all of this stuff. We see all of this stuff on our TVs. Even some of the Christian channels have now crossed over with these commercials. Y'all don't think we got work to do? We got work to do even in a secular world. Some of us need to be TV producers. Some of us need to own channels. Some of us need to own schools. Oh, well, it's coming, First Lady. Don't worry. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Hallelujah. Yeah, some of us are supposed to be teaching our kids, working in the hospitals. We are supposed to be doing that. Why are we letting the world do everything we're supposed to be doing? Who are we in God? We say we serve God, but we're going to let them teach our kids? My kids will tell you, I don't play that. I need a summary of exactly what you're teaching them. Because if it ain't what's right, they're not going to learn that. We got work to do, y'all. We got work to do. We got work to do. It's not about a license. It's not about a certificate. It's not about an elevation or anything like that. You don't need none of that stuff to tell somebody about Jesus. You don't need no license. You don't need no paperwork. And I know sometimes now they can go right online and they can print stuff. So you could become a bishop, you know, and get your little fake ring. And hello, $40. They $1.32 on Temu. I seen them. Hello. Hello. But we got work to do. Ain't no fakeness in the kingdom. Because Jesus is real. So we got to be real. We got to be real intentional about telling somebody about Christ. Hallelujah. We got to be real intentional about going and getting our loved ones. Even we can't even allow our loved ones to still sin. We got to tell them about that's our first ministry. Teaching, reaching the ones that we love. That's our first ministry. I used to be so convicted sometimes when I come to retreats, like, Sister, I got your back, and I'm able to minister to other people's children and other people's sisters and things like that. And then I just felt like, oh, my God, what am I doing with my own? And all my siblings grew up in church. Not saying they go to church, but they acknowledge God. But one day they will come. But I used to feel so guilty, but I ain't let it affect me because I was still, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. But my siblings still busting hell wide open, like my mama said. They still doing whatever they want to do. And it wasn't until recently that I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to tell you exactly what God told me to tell you, whether you like it or not. I don't care. My family will tell you, I don't care. And I thank God because a year ago it was not like this. A year ago, I tried to give up on God, because we know he ain't giving up on us, but I tried to give up. I was like, I ain't doing this no more. I don't care anything that was spoken over my life. I'm not doing it because of what I was facing, but not even realizing some of the stuff that I was facing, I caused, but we don't want to talk about that. We want to get up here and just make it seem like, oh, I was going through, and I was this, and I was that. But not saying, listen, it was sometimes God told me to go right, and I was like, nope, I'm going left. Sometimes God told me to stay. Nope, I ain't doing this. Sometimes God told me to go, and I stayed. Sometimes I had to work on myself. I was in prayer a couple weeks ago, and I told First Lady this. And I'm just going in prayer. And I'm just like, Lord, you know, your people this. And Lord, your people that. And Lord, get your people. And God, like, these is your people. So you gonna have, I mean, I was laying it down, complaining. I realized I was complaining. I heard the voice of the Lord tell me so clear as day as I'm talking, check your temperature in God. And I'm just like, ooh. That's good. right? I even got out the phone and was like, let me do some little voice notes. And, you know, I'm going to the scriptures and to this with the check your temperature. I meditated on that thing all day, and that thing got me. That thing got me. Because sometimes, most of the times, if not all the time, the message that you preach got to come to you first. All the time. Got to hit you first. So while I'm doing these notes and I'm telling God, God, go get them people. Put them on fire. Stir them up. Bring them up in you. Oh, I mean, I was laying it down. Crying boo, all of that stuff. Lashes all right. God said, you check your temperature. How on fire for me are you? I had to realize it was some areas, and when God got to check you, you like, oh, okay. Ouch on every toe. I heard you, God. Okay. And I'm glad that it wasn't publicly, because, you know, God don't be, he don't care. He don't care. If he going to get you, he going to get you. He don't care. But I was like, wow. I had to realize that there were some things that I needed to bring the temperature up. There were some things that I needed to work, because God had more work for me to do, and there was more work that needed to be done. I had to realize that. So in this work, whatever your hands find to do, you got to do it. In this work, whatever the Lord tells you to say, you got to say it. In this work, whatever you have to do, you just have to do it. Just like Nike says, just do it. God bless you.